This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
La Pasa. It's an online B2B procurement platform that simplifies procurement by allowing companies to purchase general supplies for their businesses via a system that acts very much like any other online shopping site. You just add to cart and then check out. But here's the thing. This site is also providing businesses with procurement features to help companies establish governance within their respective procurement departments, which apparently is also speeding up the whole procurement process quite significantly. So it's promised to be cheaper, faster, and more efficient. But the question is, by how much? Good morning, this is Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj. On the show today, I have the boys, the young men from LaPasa.com. There are five co-founders of the online B2B procurement platform, but joining us today are just two of the five, the CEO and self-professed dreamer of the bunch, Dinesh Kumar, and the head of business development at LaPasa.com and company hustler, Lakshman Das. La Pasa, on your website, you call your service procurement the way it should be. What is the way procurement ideally should be?
So procurement has been ran traditionally for 20, 25 years in the country, the same way the traditional RFQ processes, negotiation processes. And what we mean by procurement the way it should be is it should be digitalized. That's what we mean when we say procurement the way it should be.
Ideally, everything should be digital.
It should be digitalized. When I say RFQ, so meaning request for quotation, it shouldn't be in a way where people are actually requesting for quotations anymore. It should be there in a catalog, ready to purchase. Prices are pre-negotiated. And even if you want to negotiate, it should be online because that's where we're heading to now. And it's no different for the corporate and business market. Yeah.
So how did you realize that this is something you could do, as in perfect the procurement business and help others enjoy the way it should be? How did the idea of La Pasa come about?
So how did this idea come about is basically when we as consumers, we have gone through plenty of e-commerce sites today. And as we were looking into it, we realized that consumer-based shopping is so simple. You go in there, you source for what you want, and you make a purchase, right? It is no different for a corporate. They go into a platform, they can source for something, and they need to make a purchase. Yeah, so we thought this consumer-based
model
can be applied into a corporate purchasing process as well. So when we tested it out, with few smaller organizations, we saw that they really made a lot of, they benefited a lot from this platform. Time of purchasing, the purchase cycle itself reduced tremendously when we brought the consumer-based shopping into a corporate. So that's how we thought that this works, and we decided to bring it into larger corporates.
But what is your background, Dinesh and Lakshman? I mean, like, were you already in the procurement business?
So my first job was in procurement, right? But I started business at a very young age. When I was 22, I already got into my first business, which was a medical device distribution and service business. So my first, running your own business requires a lot of procurement as well, sourcing for the cheapest possible item in order to make most profits. So that was my first encounter with procurement. And then there's this story that led to the whole idea of La Pasa. I participated in a tender, right? And in the tender, there were eight of us that participated. It was for a medical device. But we already knew that it was predefined. The winner was already predefined. So this is a common thing that you see in Malaysia. So that's when I came back home and I spoke to Lakshman. And I said, what if there was a platform for the private industry to purchase things at a very equal platform, So all vendors are equal. It's about who's best at delivery or product quality or quality itself, right? So that's when La Pasa came about. The concept itself was to provide equal playing ground for the small businesses.
Did you do any research or homework to see if there was going to be a market for something like this before you started? I mean, were you convinced when you thought of it that this would be a winning, well, formula?
I think that's the thing about people like us, entrepreneurs, right? We always fall in love with our idea. We lose sleep over it at night. But yes, we tested it out. With who? With our clinics. Because I was running a medical device business, so I already had a base of customers who we tested the concept out with first, which was slightly different back then, but nevertheless, very much similar to what we are doing today. And it worked there, first of all. Mm. And that's when we thought we needed to scale it up.
So for a fact, we also knew that corporates today, they do have a system like this, but it's just not exact like what La Pasa is doing. They have got a directory format. It's something like Yellow Pages format, whereby the list of vendors, they actually contact them, they request for quote. So where we went in knowing that this concept is there, but we wanted to bring in a marketplace concept rather. Make the corporate purchasing now a corporate shopping environment. That's what we wanted to do.
With governance
with
and
governance,
procurement
yeah.
processes on the back end, of course.
Okay. So I understand that the both of you are just two out of the five founding members of La Pasa. Most startup founders of two or maybe three already have problems on agreeing how things should be. Did you guys have the same vision to begin with, all five of you? Or do you take a vote if you disagree? What is your founder relationship dynamics like?
I think on the more important things like what should the business be doing and what sort of equal playing field we should be providing, what's the branding, those kind of things, we had a very similar vision from the start. So that part of it was simpler. And then there are the more important things like how the logo should look or what the name should be. Yeah, these kind of things is where we disagree, but that can be always resolved with votes. But otherwise, the core of the business, I think we all have the same mission.
So it is votes and not like hand wrestling or something like that.
There are times that it's hand wrestling, but in most times it is based on votes, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess five is a good number that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
So coming back to the platform itself, how does lapasa.com work? Tell me a bit about the functions and how it basically simplifies procurement.
Okay, so currently, as we all know, corporate purchasing, how it works is you need to actually get a PR from the department, and then this procurement department needs to request for quotations, wait for their response, and this kind of things is there, right? So we actually made lapasa.com in a way where it's a three-step simplistic buying process. Yeah, you go into our marketplace, you actually view what you want to purchase in the marketplace, add to cart and purchase. Right?
So it's search, pick,
checkout with workflow. So that is the difference there. So you check out with workflow because corporate purchases cannot just be like a consumer shopping, right? So it needs to go for an approval from their bosses, for example.
Right.
So it goes accordingly for an approval and then it goes out to the vendor as a official order.
But the workload itself should come on the purchases end, right? How is that incorporated on your website?
So that's what we did. So when somebody adds, so let's make a comparison between e-commerce, consumer e-commerce and ours, right? So a consumer e-commerce, people add to cart, check out, pay, that's it. Ours is as simple as that still on the front end. So you've got add to cart, check out. You can choose to pay if you're a small business. So it depends on what size your company is.
Mm.
We also have SME clients who can pay immediately. And then there are the larger guys who we actually go in and set up a workflow for them. Once we do the one-time setup on the workflow, then it's seamless for them from then on. So what they do is they add to cart, check out, and it goes for an approval.
Mm.
And an approval in our system is as simple as a click of a button, approve. That's it, right? So the approver gets an email or a notification, he or she clicks on approve, and the purchase goes through. That's it. And then there are a lot of other features incorporated, like audit log. So that's very important for corporate purchasers. They want to know who has logged in. They want to know what they did when they logged in. And then there's reporting, managing your orders, vendor management. All of this is incorporated at the back end. But the most important thing is the making the purchase itself has become much, much more simpler for the companies.
So certain important aspects, right? For example, you needing to set budget for a certain department, right? It is done pretty manual. these days. So we have actually brought a feature into the system where now you are able to actually set according to departments what should be their budget on a monthly basis, right? So if it actually exceeds the budget, they cannot actually purchase anymore. It freezes accordingly. So that way, governance becomes much more automated, right? You just sit back and view it from a bird eye view.
Okay. Yeah?
So that's how it is.
I understand that you have, well, a long list of buyer features and seller features. What would you say are your most popular features at the moment?
Most popular feature, I would say, is it is not really a popular feature. It is a feature which is there. But how we have improvised it, we have made everything very flexible in the platform. For example, one of the most prominent features would be workflow setup. So in current platforms, current matured platforms, they are unable to actually bend to certain requirements, right? It is not too flexible in that sense. So our workflow, for example, you can add multiple approvals however you want it to be, it can be set, right? And then we have got price prompters. So today when a company actually needs to source for an item, they might lose track of the cheapest ones, right? Because they're doing it by themselves, it's manual. So today, when they actually access our marketplace, there are plenty of items. In case they miss out on the cheapest quote, it is going to automatically suggest to them that you are missing out on the cheapest one. Please go and view this, right? So this kind of things makes a procurement department ensure that you're going to save money for your company.
All right. Well, speaking of saving money, one of the big emphasis I see on your website is that La Pasa is cost-effective procurement, right? So how much cheaper have you seen products change hands?
Okay, so first of all, when we talk about savings, because we're a procurement platform, there are three sort of savings. Number one is the usage of the system itself. Enterprise solutions like this, procurement handling enterprise solutions, can cost thousands, if not millions. Sometimes GLCs or large companies pay millions for this sort of solutions, and we do not charge anything. That's the first thing. That's the most important thing. Number two is we create savings on every purchase. So that can range between 8 to 15% on every product. So the products that we deal with are more indirect spend. So what do I mean by indirect spend is For a company like Business FM, for example, your direct spend would be this equipment right here, where you are. It's directly involved with the business cost itself, but your tables and chairs are indirect spend.
Mm.
So we deal with indirect spend. So this sort of items, we can create 8 to 15% of savings. And on top of that, there's something called cost avoidance. Now, for large companies, to release a single purchase order could cost them up to 84 ringgit, 85 ringgit, 90 ringgit, hundreds of ringgits just to release a purchase order. Now, when they use lapasa.com, this is the exact cost that they are avoiding. So for every 50,000 ringgit, for example, a real-life case study, for every 50,000 ringgit spent with us, they are avoiding 12,000 ringgit of cost.
Oh, yeah.
On systems, on licensing, on manpower, time saved, and it reduces purchase time tremendously as well.
By how much?
So one case study, our client, it reduced their purchase time from 7 days to 36 minutes, which is why it reduced so much. It actually created so much cost avoidance.
So how exactly we are doing that is how we are bringing down from 7 days right down to 36 minutes right now is because we are doing the back end job for them. We are already preparing it for them pre-hand. So in terms of negotiating, right, they do it product to product negotiation. So I gather their purchase data and we actually sit and negotiate everything pre-hand. We set up the catalog for them and we hand it over for them to start off. So that way it saves a lot of time in terms of receiving quotations, all of these things.
When we come back, the guys behind online B2B procurement platform LaPasa.com talk to us about their nightmare early days in the business and how they faked it till they made it. Tinesh Kumar and Lakshman Das from LaPasa.com will be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. I'm speaking with the very bright and driven boys behind LaPasa.com, an online B2B procurement platform that allows companies to purchase general supplies for their businesses via a system that acts very much like an add-to-cart and checkout service used in B2C marketplaces. LaPasa, how did the name come about? I mean, is it like how Malaysians say, like, pasa la, or is there like some Spanish origins behind it? Like, LaPasa meaning the market?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Really?
That's what it means, yeah.
That's what it means.
LaPasa means the market.
Score. Okay.
So basically, because finding a .com domain these days is a challenge, so you got to get a bit creative with how you name your website. And yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
La means the, pasa means market.
Wow, I feel like I accomplished something today. Okay, so I understand that when you started and were a never-heard-before company, you guys as a group sat down and made at least 100 calls a day to register suppliers for the website. Tell me about this initial struggle.
Okay, this was a highlight in the operations because we, as I said, we made plenty of calls in a day. And out of 120 calls, for example, we used to get turndowns of probably almost 60, 70 calls.
Mm.
Some do not respond to you well. Some swear at you.
Mm.
Some, some say, I'm not interested. And this kind of things happens. Yeah. So what motivated us to keep going is the fact that the trust that our clients had on us. Yeah. No matter what, they always told us that we depend on you. Right, so they put us in a spot where we have no choice but to bring these guys in. So sometimes there were times where we needed to say some things which might not be true to bring them in.
Okay.
Yeah, it happens. It happens in a startup. This is something that there's a very famous term in a startup whereby people say fake it till you make it. Right. So there are some things that you might want to say to rope these guys in. So this was the fun times of our office, and then these lies became truth along the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we brought in more clients, as we started analyzing case studies, the 7 days to 34 minutes, these kind of things actually strengthened us. And today, it is not so much of a problem anymore.
One of the concepts that we use during this time is, it is draining for anybody to make so many calls and get turned down on every call. But we figured out one thing. Out of 120 calls, at least one is bound to say yes. And all we need to start in a location is probably 10 to 15 vendors.
Hmm.
So that kept me going, I think, and a few other people. That was the concept that we took on board, and we still use it till today. If I make 10 calls, one is going to say yes. So just keep going, keep calling.
These initial, well, the rejection, why do you think these suppliers were not keen? I mean, were they happy with the status quo, the traditional purchasing way, or the traditional procurement method, or did they just not see value in doing this online?
There were a lot of traditional people, first of all. So aging business owners who are very comfortable, like you said, complacent. They had already made their money. They do not see a need to sustain any longer or grow their business online. That was one. Another interesting thing that we actually noticed is the massive lack of trust in the market. Business people just do not trust anymore for some reason. And probably it's because, mainly, primarily it's because of payments.
Mm.
So when you are an online platform and you call vendors, they know for a fact that you are going to receive payment first, because that is how online sites work.
Yeah.
And they want to know, how are you going to pay them then? So that was a massive challenge as well. Yeah, so just most of it was complacency and lack of trust, and they do not see the need to come online.
Another main reason why they don't choose to come on board is because now, all this while, they have been independent. It's between them and the client, mm. right? So today, we are now bringing all these guys and putting them in one pool of marketplace. So all of a sudden, the fact of transparency there is not too comfortable,
mm.
right,
yeah.
for them. They tend to be reluctant to come up there and post up their prices simply because of them not being used to being transparent, probably. I'm not sure. So this kind of issues
And also greater competition, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Much, much greater.
But how we actually handle that is, you know, the more clients we bring in, the more business they're going to get. Because it's today it's not as simple as a vendor just walking into a GLC or a large corporate and selling something. Right, there are so many red tapes in terms of vendor registrations, so many forms to fill up. We are breaking all of this for them. So this is the brighter side, which I think will be understood with enough education. Yeah.
So initially, many suppliers did not see the value in Napasa.com, but investors obviously did see the value in it. Talk to me about your funding journey.
So obviously, funding journey started with a lot of no's as well, right? But there was one guy who said yes, and then after that, it just started from there, right? So it was the first investor was a private investor called Derek Liu. His name is Derek Liu. He invested 50,000 ringgit for us to actually prove the concept. And one of the co-founders, Mr. Bani, also pumped in a certain amount of money. And this is how we actually proved the concept. So bootstrapping, we call it bootstrapping, right? So a lot of our money in there. And then is when we proved the concept, is when we started getting the yeses. So one of the first companies, a private investment company that said yes to us, is a company called Nexia Angels and Watchtower and Friends. And then Cradle came about. Cradle said yes to us after four tries. We went there four times, got turned down. But mainly that was because we were not at a stage that we had proved the business model itself. And then Cradle came on board. So investment journey was a lot of no's in the beginning and then a lot of yeses afterwards. So one of the things that I also, a big lesson for me in the investment circuit is that all you need to do is prove the concept and see if it's scalable. It can take over the whole country, let's say. Right. So once investors are able to see that, then they start coming in themselves.
So speaking to one of your co-founders via email, Dennis mentioned that you guys feel accelerator programs were so critical and beneficial to Lapasa.com.
Yeah. So personally, Tinesh and I, when we were first offered this accelerator program, for some reason, we were not too excited about it, or because we felt that as a startup, we did not need this accelerator program. We thought that accelerator program is something that actually teaches you how to do business, and you know, it was a misconception there, but it turned out to be one of the most fruitful ever training that we attended for, because that opened up so much of doors for us. There were certain telco companies that came for the they call it the graduation day, so a lot of them actually come and actually view at your pitch, and we started getting a lot of calls, you know, going in for random appointments. And that's how we got, in fact, Nexia Angels and WTF to actually invest in us as well.
Not only that, I think they also hold you accountable. Accelerator programs, they hold you accountable. So there are certain numbers that you've got to hit, certain achievements that you've got to get done. And they hold you accountable to what you say.
It keeps you pumped, in other words. It keeps you pumped.
Keeps the pressure on.
Yeah.
You keep going.
And I hear you've also actually turned down a big investment, something like 600,000. Because I know some startups out there who would jump through hoops if they have to get something like 600K. Why did you guys say no?
So this particular investor did not agree with our vision of opening up the marketplace or creating equal opportunities for the vendors out there. So there was a huge vision clash. And this was during a time that we were desperate for money as well. So 600,000 was such a happy thing for us that somebody was wanting to invest in us. But that's the time that we thought if we took the money, it can be disruptive, not to the market, but to us. We would be out of business. We would have been out of business if we actually took the money because of the vision, the difference in vision.
So no regrets?
No regrets, absolutely
not at all.
Okay. Let's talk about achievements. We'll start with your marketplace. Do you know how many products that you have on the site right now?
Approximately, we have got about almost hitting 10,000 products as of today.
Okay. And how are you dealing with competition from sites like... I can imagine a site like Lazada would be eating into what ideally would be your segment of the market. How do you differentiate your service to that of the big guns?
Okay, so how we differentiate ourselves is that when we walk into a company, the normal question that they ask you is, how are you different from Lazada? So how we are different from Lazada is that we have got certain elements in there. For example, now that, as I mentioned earlier, when a purchase happens in a company, it cannot be as simple as you checking out and making the payment.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of processes in between. So we have brought in all of these elements in there, yet giving them a shopping environment. So that's how we differ from these guys. Secondly, if you remember, Tinesh was mentioning about the cost-saving part.
Mm.
So how we actually bring value to our clients is that now when one company buys an item, they are buying according to their internal volume, right? So La Pasa has many clients. So we actually aggregate all this demand, right? If one company has 50, 10 companies that we have got 500.
Mm.
The quantity becomes so big and we can leverage over this quantity and we get to negotiate prices with our wholesalers. So what I'm trying to say is La Pasa almost has wholesale prices all the time. So that's another way that we differentiate from typical e-commerce sites.
And a lot of the negotiation with the vendors is based on corporate purchases. So we talk a lot about free delivery, not imposing a high MOQ and stuff like that, on top of being wholesale deals.
And La Pasa is not just a system provider. We would like people to accept us as a procurement team, just not sitting in your office, right?
We outsource procurement. Yeah.
Yes, we help you meet your KPIs. We assist you in meeting KPIs, right? You know, finding for ad hoc sourcing. You might need a voice recorder today for your office, right? But your people might not have the time to do. We can actually support you in these kind of areas. Yeah, ad hoc sourcing services and these kind of things.
When we come back, Dinesh Kumar and Lakshman Das from LaPasa.com talk to us about another big break they are yet to announce, a major deal with an unnamed telco. Enterprise with LaPasa.com will be right back after these quick messages. BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Thanks for staying with us on Enterprise. I am Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me are the 20-something founders of online B2B procurement platform LaPasa.com, Dinesh Kumar and Lakshman Das. Before the break, we were discussing some of the milestones in LaPasa.com's recent meteoric rise to success. They've also been really coy about talking about this mega deal they've scored with a local telco, but I'm going to see if I can get them to spill the beans on that. Another achievement, I guess, is securing a nationwide deal with one of Malaysia's largest telcos, whose name you haven't or maybe cannot reveal, and this within 5 months of operations. I read this in an article on the Vulcan Post. What can you tell us about this deal and why the big secret?
So revealing their name is, dealing with such a big organization is always sensitive, so we have not obtained their permission to reveal their name. Once we have the permission, we definitely will. But what I can reveal about the deal is this company has benefited a lot out of cost avoidance that I mentioned, has benefited a lot of out of purchase cycle time, which has reduced tremendously, and purchase to purchase savings. So because of that, this particular company has operations in every state, every town you can imagine. They are there. And they saw value and they thought, okay, if I actually roll this out for the whole nation, if you can create the results that you have created for us during the pilot period here in KL alone, I can only imagine what you can do for the whole nation and how much savings you can bring my company this year. And let me tell you this, they saw us, like Lakshman mentioned just now, they saw us as their procurement outsource company. They did not view us just as a platform. So we are more of their partners, to be honest with you.
And I have to say here that that department, that procurement department of this client of ours, they are a visionary. They had the guts to actually take this step even though it was a totally new concept that we brought to them. And I really appreciate that part of that. And I think every organization should take a leap, make a change, try something new.
If not with us,
at least
take your own effort to actually go digitalize.
Yeah.
How did this deal come about in the first place? Did you just walk in there, make an appointment, hear about a deal?
So for very important thing for every startup, for those who are involved in business development, sales, one very powerful tool that helped me personally was LinkedIn. Right? I went through LinkedIn on a daily basis, adding procurement personnel, and that's how I actually randomly messaged this one person. And I was lucky enough that they diverted me to the right person in the procurement department. That's how we started off.
And
we
every went other company we have brought on I think board mostly. Has been like that, door knocking or through LinkedIn calls.
LinkedIn is the tool for a startup, I would say.
Here I was hoping that, you know, you might actually accidentally say the name of the telco, but you guys are slick. Okay. Would you say La Pasa has pretty much done what it set out to do? Or is it still a work in progress?
Oh, we are very far from what we have set out to do. So our vision statement is to create a world-class supply chain solution for businesses to improve the economic status of the country itself. And so when I say world-class supply chain solution, we are talking about integrated warehousing, integrated logistics. And then payment solutions is one thing that we're looking into. And in the procurement process itself, we are looking to go end-to-end, which means not only dealing with indirect spend, but we want to get into services, which means tendering of services, and also contract management, stuff like this, more sophisticated areas of procurement itself. So it's a long work in progress, but it is a five-year plan for us.
A five-year plan?
Yeah, in five years, we are looking to reach here. And then beyond 5 years is more of a regional expansion plan for us from then on.
So world domination in 10 years?
probably Southeast domination in 10 years. Southeast Asia domination in 10 years.
Okay. Before we go, if there was one thing you would have changed in this LaPasa.com journey, what would it be and why? Would you change anything?
I don't think I would change anything.
I can't really think of something. Maybe it's too...
Probably if there's one thing that I would change is don't go to the market earlier than you are ready. So for instance, if you're building your MVP or rather your prototype product, if I had a chance to go back there, I wouldn't have actually brought it to market so early.
So you feel you went in a little too soon?
At that time, yes. So what happened is we actually lost a couple of prospects because of that. Because we went in too early and we couldn't execute on time and we lost the deals. So that is one mistake that we made.
Promises made before you could execute them.
Exactly.
All right. So lessons learned?
Don't promise.
Don't promise.
You can execute.
Development. Product development is a very important thing. We had massive issues in terms of product development. Pick the right one. Possibly pick a localized company. Even though you're going to spend a bit more of extra money, so be it. Just put in the extra money because this is your savior. Your product is your savior, right?
It has to be a company that you can actually walk in at any time and sit with them and discuss with them why is it taking so long, why are we not hitting our timelines, as opposed to outsourcing it to another country. So that's a big lesson.
Yeah, product development.
And finally, one question that came from BFM itself. Any chance of tapping into the government and helping them with procurement?
Yes, it is our long-term plan to go into the government. But as you know, there are a lot more red tapes involved. I think we have had a great journey tapping into the GLCs, which is a first step, very close to the government. Yes, we are going to try for the government, but probably in 5 years' time.
Okay, government first, world domination next.
Yeah, government first, world domination next, exactly.
All right, thank you so much for speaking with us, guys. All the best to you and LaPasa.com.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Dinesh Kumar and Lakshman Das from online B2B procurement platform lapasa.com. If you're in the procurement line, go check out the platform, the thousands of products available on its marketplace and its workflow features for yourself. Just head on over to lapasa.com. And if you've missed any part of this show, just head on over to our website, bfm.my, to look for the podcast. Or you could also listen to our podcast on the BFM mobile app, which you can download from Apple's App Store and on Google Play. All right, I'm going to head out of the studio right now. My name is Audrey Raj, and you are listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.